Thank you, Brother Book Out. Wonderful song service. Amen. This morning, if you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that'll be the first scripture we go to this morning. As I said earlier to you, the church, I have decided to preach a series of messages coming from a pamphlet written many decades ago by Brother M.L. Mosier Sr. He titled that pamphlet, The Eternal Security of a Believer, with the subject, 100 Reasons and 100 Scriptures Proving Eternal Security. And I have decided to put that into message form, adding to it, not taking anything away or not turning anything around or altering any of Brother Moses' work, to teach this. I don't know how many messages it'll be, but it'll be quite a few. And the reason I want to do this is because outside of the salvation of the believer in Jesus Christ, the most important benefit we have of that is eternal security. Not too many in this world called Christianity believe in such a thing. In fact, a lot of people believe in Christianity that you are able to be lost after you're saved. Amen. But that defeats the entire purpose of God saving you to start with. And not only that, if you study the salvation of a soul, you will learn that it starts in eternity past. Long before God created man, long before God created the earth, long before God created anything. Amen. God had already started salvation. Scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. We went to Tyler yesterday, Don and I did, to visit. And on the way up there, we heard an old Presbyterian preacher that I just loved to listen to preach. I heard his voice, I knew immediately who it was. It was J. Vernon McGee. Now, he's a Presbyterian, and Brother McGee and I disagree on a lot of things, but he preached a message yesterday about Jesus Christ and eternal security that would just make you cry. So wonderful. I thank God for my salvation. Amen. And I thank God that I cannot undo what God hath done. Brother Mosier starts his thinking off with this. Please understand this thought. Eternal security of the believer, or the final preservation of the saints, and salvation by grace are but different methods of expressing the same doctrine. It don't matter if you look at the eternal security of the believer, the preservation of the saints, or salvation by grace. Every one of those take you right back to one place. The eternal security of the believer. If you will, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is an ad. Brother Mosier did not have this in his notes. It says in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians 2, therefore, brethren, steadfast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by words or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. You know what consolation means? It means comfort. And good hope, how? Through grace. He goes on to say, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Consolation or comfort for the believer starts with eternal security, does it not? What's the most comforting thing you have in your life? Well, it's your salvation, isn't it? But it's also knowing that your salvation is eternal. And it will never end. You can't even do away with it yourself. You did not give yourself salvation. You did not cause yourself to be saved. You had nothing to do with your salvation. God chose you before the foundation of the world and saved your soul in time. Amen. Given you eternal security. Because, folks, if we could lose it, we would. We are sinners by nature. Heard a brother say a while back that man don't have two natures. He most certainly does. If we didn't have two natures, we'd be perfect, wouldn't we? Brother Mosier went on to say with these words, however, because of a general misunderstanding on the part of many concerning the doctrine of eternal security, it is thought best for giving the reason why we believe in eternal security to state some things that are not connected with this doctrine in order to clarify what we intend to look into. In other words, he's giving a reason to why some people don't understand eternal security. My thinking is, and I get this thought also from his thinking, is that people that don't believe in eternal security are not saved. Because if you're saved, you got to understand eternal security. So we're going to look at several things starting this morning unrelated to eternal security to explain why it is a foreign doctrine to so many. One, under things not connected with the doctrine, one, an untruth is that all church members are saved. All church members are not saved. All real church members are saved. But not just anyone who claims himself or titles himself a church member. Not just anybody who goes up and says they're saved is saved. Not everyone that is baptized into the church and made a church member is actually a church member. You can't be a church member if you're not saved. Amen. Baptized by a local New Testament church. And that's not any church. That is a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist Church. So not all quote-unquote church members are saved. Amen. We recognize that there are many, Brother Moses went on to say, we recognize that there are many church members today who have never been born again. Only those who have definitely trusted or believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. Only those who have genuinely believed and trusted in Jesus Christ are saved, Brother Lord said. And you know what? He could not be more true. Don and I heard of some people that went up and were baptized, and they can't even tell you why they were baptized. that are now church members. I've seen church members that have been saved. My wife was a church member before she was saved. Not reality, but in thinking. My father-in-law, Horace Hammond, was also a member of a church in the thinking before he was saved. In fact, Brother Hammond was actually saved at a Bible conference at Central Baptist Church in Little Rock under the ministry of Brother Mosier Sr. Brother Wendell was a member here for a long time, and the Lord saved him later. We find a lot of cases of that because people grow up in the ministry, or people think they're saved when they're not. But not everybody that's a member of a church is a Christian. They're not saved. Not everybody says they're a Christian is saved. John chapter 3, if you will. This is one of my adds to it. This is true Christianity. This is what true Christians are. Believing in an eternal salvation. You know, it amazes me. A lot of people that don't believe in eternal security have never been saved but once. Now, nobody's ever been really saved has been saved more than once, have they? But these people believe in eternal security. These people believe not in eternal security, but they believe that they're good enough in their life to keep themselves saved. Folks, that's heresy. We are sinners. We must ask God every day for forgiveness of our sins. Here's what a Christian is. In John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through Christ. You might be saved through Christ. He that believeth on him, that is Christ, is not condemned. Is that not eternal security? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe. No condemnation. Here it says, they may believe on him is not condemned. But he hath believed not. He that believeth not is condemned already, because excuse me, he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and man loved not in his rather than lights, because their deeds are evil. Now go to Hebrews 3, if you will. This is one of Brother Mosier's reference scriptures. I added that one. I don't know if I read this or not. I'm going to go to it anyway. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, Brother Moses had this in his notes. For we are made partakers. You know what a partaker is? It's a partner. So we are made partners of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Christ should be that confidence. We are made partners with Christ because Jesus Christ is our confidence. Is he your confidence? Which should cause us to be what? Steadfast unto the end. In other words, our partnership with Christ should cause us to have that confidence in Christ to hold us till the end. Mm-hmm. non-Christians, I hate to call them Christians, but they call themselves that, so I have to call them that so they recognize themselves. Non-Christians do not have their faith and confidence steadfast till the end in Christ. They are not partners with Christ. Christ Jesus is not a fact to them. He is to them the beginning of their salvation, and after Christ, they have to work it out themselves. What a condemnation of Jesus Christ! If Jesus Christ and His blood is not able to wash away all your sins, then He is worthless. Amen. So they're not partners with Christ, and He is not their confidence and steadfastness to hold them till the end. 1 John 2, if you will. And don't worry, I've got months to preach this if I need to. I'm going to preach this entire message. It's 14 pages of notes he's got. And it's probably going to be 50 by the time I get through adding my little bit to it. This is from his notes, or the scripture is. In John, 1 John chapter 2, John recognized and described these non-Christians. These non-Christian Christians, as I put it. Brother Moser gives this scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's John saying? These people were part of us, but they left us because they didn't agree with what we were teaching, to create their own religion. When they weren't really part of us, because they never were really church members to start with. Amen. If you are not saved by the eternal God through His Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not been washed in the blood of Jesus, you are not saved. If you have not been baptized by a local New Testament Baptist church, you are not a church member. You may be of another organization, but not the Lord's churches. They may leave from us after being part of us, but if they left, they weren't really part of us, were they? Second of the introduction here, things not connected with the doctrine of eternal security, is another untruth is that all who are engaged in church work are saved. No, you're not. Amen. Just because you do things for the church don't mean that you are saved. Just because you do Christian things don't mean you're saved. I heard Brother J. Vernon McGee, as I told you earlier. I don't agree with Brother McGee on a lot of things, but I do on a lot of things. He's a very good, solid grace man. He's with the Lord. He hasn't preached in decades because he's been with the Lord. And he was talking about minorities. What they would do is they would send questions to him and he would answer them. And one of those questions, he got into, we didn't hear the question, but we heard the response. And he was talking about minorities. And he was talking about minorities in America and in the world. He said the greatest minority in the world is Christians. Because there's so few of us. He's exactly right. Look at our building, folks. You want to walk into one of the mega churches and see hundreds, if not thousands? Go ahead. But you want to hear truth, you walk through the doors of this building. Amen. You want to hear a real salvation message, you walk through the doors of this building. So I agree with Brother McGee. We are the smallest minority anywhere. And 1 John, speaking of these people who are, I got back up on my notes there. He says, there are false apostles, deceitful workers, even in New Testament times, Brother Moser said. And today, there are many religious workers that are not saved. Therefore, they are not secured. Turn over to Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 7. You know the scripture. I'm going to read it. You know all the scriptures. We're going to read them. We have churches built, churches filled, mega churches, super mega churches. We have worldwide ministries of people that call themselves Christians who are not Christians at all. They are religious workers. Brother Warren Wiersbe down in by Houston, whom I have several of his books also, who's now with the Lord, used to call them religious Christians. So if you ever hear me say that, and you have, that's where I got that. Religious Christians. Christians are not religious, folks. We are Christ-like. But here we see some of those Christian, religious Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, listen, have I not prophesied in thy name? Who are them? Who are these people? Well, their name certainly isn't Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, or anybody else like that, are they? These are your Joel Osteens. These are your whatever name, Myers. These are the people like the new president's pastor, you know, the blonde, pretty blonde woman. They have prophesied in his name, and in his name have cast out devils. And in his name have done many wonderful works. In their own minds they have done many wonderful works. But we know if we studied the Word of God, if you don't do it as a Christian, as a real Christian, then your works are null and void. God gets nothing from them. And then, will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Daniel chapter 7, if you will. Depart from me, I do not know. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Listen, thousands. You know what thousands is? I mean, we can't count them. They're innumerable. Ministered unto him. And listen, 10 thousand times 10,000, that means we can't number them, stood before him. The judge was set. The books were opened. Now go to Revelation 20. The prophet Daniel is in a vision seeing what's going to happen in Revelation. Matthew's telling us about these religious Christians who thought they were Christians, who's going to be judged exactly how they want to be by their works. So these people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, these Christian, religious Christians, who are not Christians at all, who thought they were, and the books, plural, we don't know how many, perhaps thousands, if not millions of them, will be opened. And then the Lord touches over here, and they're going to say in Matthew, what they're going to say is, Lord, look at what I've done. In Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, that's lost, small and great, stand before God, that's Christ, and the books, plural, as Daniel said, were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, plural, not the book. You know who's judged out of the book? We are. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus is going to look at these books. He's going to see everything they've done. Of course, he already knows it. And that's when the debate starts. Lord, look at what I've done. Remember old sister so-and-so was hungry one day and I gave her $10? Don't you remember that, Lord? And it's in the books. Apparently. And they were judged out of those things in the books, plural, according to their works. Exactly what they want, isn't it? I just want God to give me what I deserve. He's going to. There's no grace for you, no mercy for you, no blood for you, no salvation for you. You're going to get exactly what you deserve. You have no eternal security. So he's going to judge them out of the books according to their works. And how many does it say were saved? How many did he look into the book, singular, and say, oh, here's your name? He don't even mention it, does he? The only thing he mentions here after their great argument is, I'm judging you for what you did. What you did was nothing. It accomplishes nothing. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this, my friend, is the second death. First John chapter 4. There's several scriptures here, and I'm going to read them quickly so I can finish down to our third point. These are all scriptures Brother Mosier had in his notes. It's 1 John 4, 2 John 7, 2 Peter 2, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4. And I'm going to read these in the next 4 minutes if the Lord allows me to. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits whether they are of God. Listen, because many false prophets are gone into the world. These are religious workers that are not saved. These are people that call themselves Christians, even today, that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not possess eternal security. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you will. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as they were, there shall be false teachers among you." Among you, they will be false teachers. Who privately, see that word? Privately, that's in secret, that's behind your back, that's behind the pastor's back, shall bring down nations, damnable heresy, denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their precise ways, by reason of them whom the way of the truth shall be evilly spoken of. Eternal security. Keep laughing, my friend, and you will wind up before the great white throne wondering what happened. Let me find my place here. And through covetousness shall they be fringed or finged. Words make merchants of you, merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Timothy. I hope I didn't get these mixed up. But anyway, I've got to get through here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, another one of Moses' scriptures he put in. In verse 13 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "But evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Those also are Christian workers. In chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, one chapter over, verse 3, says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itch ears." Who are they? Them are not Christians. Them are evil workers. They've left the church, created their own teachings, their own doctrines, and it's evil. 1 Timothy chapter 4, this will be our last scripture. Sorry to have to hurry, but I want to get through to the second point. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies in their hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with iron." I believe this is Christians. I believe this is actual Christians leaving the Lord's churches in a desire to benefit from these evil, seducing spirits in these other congregations. Also showing religious workers calling themselves Christians who are nothing but religious Christians. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not first and foremost for them. It is all about themselves and what they can accomplish. You listen to their songs they write and sing, and you will hear songs about them, not about Christ. This is the reason God wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, "If they'll change the truth into a lie, to worship the creature more than the Creator. It's all stand. Justin's going to come. He's going to lead us into a song. If there's any reason to come, you come.